Welcome to Earthwise, reflections on earth-based spirituality. I'm Anu Dudley with a piece about O Mother Sun. Om Bhur Bhuva Suva Tat Savitur Bharanyam Bhargo Devasya Dhimahi Dhyo Yo Na Prachodayat Om. We meditate on the supreme radiance of the divine solar creatress, that she may give us wisdom. This is the Gayatri Mantra, the oldest known chant in the world, first written down in India thousands of years ago. It praises Mother Sun, giver of life, and is still sung three times a day, at sunrise to Gayatri, the maiden sun, at noon to Savitri, the mother sun, and at sunset to Sarasvati, the grandmother sun. It may surprise many to learn that the sun was once universally regarded as female. In fact, our very word, sun, comes from the name Sunna, the old Germanic sun goddess. And so, in honor of the summer solstice, let's get to know a few of the world's sun goddesses. The sun goddess of Egypt was Hathor, whose name means, "My house is the sky." Hathor wore a sun disk on top of her head. Her symbols were the mirror, the eye, and the cat, all solar icons. The cat was a solar animal whose round face and flared whiskers evoked an image of the sun and the sun's rays. The sun goddess of Scandinavia was Freya. Her sun symbols were a chariot drawn by cats and a brilliant necklace. Freya's chariot represented the sun's travel through the sky each day, pulled by solar cats. And Freya's golden necklace called Brisingamen was the shining aura that surrounded her brilliant sun face. Another sun goddess was the great Celtic triple goddess Brigid, known as Bright Arrow and the Bright One. Brigid's symbol was fire, an easy clue to her solar identity. An ancient song to honor her went, "Brigid, excellent woman, sudden flame, may your bright fiery sun take us to the everlasting land." Brigid wore brass shoes, in which she made her daily brilliant footprints across the earth. Universally, the sun was gendered female, but over time, cultures changed the sun's gender to male. A spiritual movement called Orphism came into being around the 3rd century BCE. The Orphics preached a world of duality that distinguished a lower stage of being, entirely material and earthy, from a higher stage of being, which was immaterial and heavenly. It was believed that as a person developed, his earthy nature evolved into his ethereal self, until he became a being of pure spirit. Needless to say, females, who were seen as entirely earthbound, could not achieve this spiritual solar status. Thus, the Orphic solar realm had no goddesses, only gods, and the sun was now seen as a male god. It was only much later, in the 19th century, that there developed an interest in rediscovering our ancestors' perspective on life. Thus, by analyzing the original meanings that were embedded in folklore and fairy tales, and by discovering the original significance of sacred objects dug up from ancient ruins, people began to reclaim our ancestors' view of life. They began to see that the ancients did not perceive life as a duality, as either male or female, light or dark, ethereal or earthbound. Rather, life was one divine unity, created and sustained by the mother goddess, whose emblem was the sun, an emblem of her strength and love, which created and sustained all life, its dark and light parts, its earthbound and ethereal parts, its female and male parts. And all of these parts were of equal significance and value. And so, tomorrow, as we celebrate the summer solstice, let us meditate on the supreme radiance of the divine creatress, who shines on all and for all, that she may give us wisdom and peace. Blessed be. You've been listening to Earthwise, Reflections on Earth-Based Spirituality. I'm Anu Dudley.